We've all had fierce and formidable women in our lives who have shaped who we are now. The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is dedicated to celebrating women who have shaped the education landscape more than you can possibly imagine. Who better to host this conversation than Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson, two fierce and formidable women who have been driving innovation in the field of the education world for more than 30 years. Please welcome our hosts, Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson.
Welcome to episode number 19 of Tech and Learning's Honor Roll, a podcast that celebrates fierce and formidable women in education. I'm Keisha Ray.
And I'm Frances Gibson. And we're here together to find some joy in our journey as we join up with another fierce female with an inspirational story. Joining us today is Tansy Kilcrease, and she's a nationally renowned award-winning leader. So let's learn a little bit more about Dr. Tansy Kilcrease. She's the dedicated and passionate, you're going to see that for certain, educator who has served as the Assistant Superintendent of Teaching and Learning for the Bibb County School District for the past 6 years, and she now has transitioned to the Chief of Staff. Her love for children inspires her work in education. In fact, she left the field of journalism in order to return to the schools and realize her true calling in education. Boy, we all are grateful for that. She began her career as a middle school teacher, my favorite grade levels, and then moved into leadership positions, becoming an assistant principal and serving as a principal, the hardest job you'll ever love, I've heard, at the elementary, middle, and high school levels. She served as the director of school improvement in Peach County and then returned to Bibb County School District in 2011 as the associate superintendent. As a principal, her work was published in two books, not one, but two, Are We There Yet? Continuing to Close the Achievement Gap, and Creating School Cultures That Embrace Learning, What Successful Leaders Do. The two schools she served also became Title I Distinguished Schools, and the high school was recognized in the Professional Association of Georgia Educators magazine, page one, for having a 46% change in graduation rate since 2011. Congratulations on that for certain. She also has been the recipient of the Education Celebrity Award for the Georgia Leadership Institute for School Improvement. I definitely want to know more about that. You know, she's also an incredible mother, a proud mother to three Bibb County School District graduates, and she has two grandchildren, even if you can believe it. We're so lucky to have her, Keisha.
Oh, you're so true. And I'm looking at her on video, ladies and gentlemen, and she does not look like she has any grandchildren. She barely looks like she could have birthed a child. So go Tansy. Pretty excited about that. Can't wait to get to that self-improvement section and see what you're doing for all that. And she's also a Georgia girl, Frances. So, mm-hmm. I mean, now you got two on one. Just saying.
I tell you, I love it.
You know, Tansy, in our podcast each week, we explore models of leadership together. And we focus on what we like to refer to as a pattern of M. So we're going to ask you about your role models, your mentors, mirrors and movements and mavericks. It's all these M's that usually Keisha gets very tongue-tied on, but this time I didn't. I was pretty proud of myself. And we want to make sure that all of your answers are well heard by our audience.
Yeah. And as a result, Keisha, don't be eating too many of those M&Ms during this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And let's make sure we catch some edgy babble we might use from time to time, so our listening community really understands what it is that we are talking about. And I caught one around an award that I need a little clarification about, and maybe I'm just even more intrigued about. So Tansy, welcome to the show. And can you tell us what is an education celebrity, especially because you are one?
Well, first of all, Dr. Gibson and also Dr. Ray, thank you for the opportunity to be with you today. Certainly the work that you all have done is to be commended, and how you're recognizing women across the globe. And so it's just an honor. I'm humbled to be here with you today. And so it's so funny to me that you picked that out. But that happened a long time ago when I first became an administrator at the elementary school level. And there's an organization called GLISI here in Georgia, and it is a leadership institute. And so every year they give out awards to schools that have been on the cutting edge or have made significant growth and gains. And so I became the principal of an elementary school where, unfortunately, only 14% of the students were achieving at level, at grade level, on the CRT. That was our administration. Well, that was our test at the end of the year, our summative assessment. And so therefore, after a year of implementing some very focused initiatives around math instruction, we went from 16% of our fourth graders performing at or above grade level to 84%.
Oh my God.
And so it was amazing. It was a collaborative effort, of course, on behalf of the faculty and staff, and the students and the parents and the overall community. But we were awarded that award because of that. So that's what that Education Celebrity Award is all about. And I had forgotten about that. So I'm glad that you brought that up. You know, we do these resumes and bios, and we really just never have time to reflect on exactly, you know, what we did to get here. So thank you for reminding me of that.
Well, that is such a gift to be able to turn a school. That's one of the things that Frances and I work on still today together, is trying to help districts with challenging schools. So Tansy, we may be calling you up in the very near future and asking you if you want to help us.
Well, thank you. I would love to be here. Love.
Well, let's get started with our M's. Can you share with us who your role models are and why?
So I hope that this is not cliche, but I'm pretty sure that several people say that their parents are one of their role models. And so I have to really focus on the fact that my parents, Mary and Anthony Dorsey, who were musicians and still are musicians, and how they really model for me the values that I have today and shaped me and molded me into who I am today. In fact, I can hear my father saying right now, you know, Tansy, you are a double minority. You're Black and you're female. And so you're just going to have to do things differently. Things are different from you. You can't use it as an excuse, but you're going to have to really and truly use your voice. And so my father taught me at a very young age the importance of being a leader. And so he was just very adamant about me standing out. And I saw from them what they modeled for me at a very young age is that a job is not what you want. You want a career that you're passionate about. And so my parents were entrepreneurs and they stepped out there on faith and they were musicians. My dad played with Paul McCartney and Wings for 6-7 years, traveled the world. My mom also traveled with them. And so they showed me that if you find something that you really love and are passionate about, then it's not a job. And so they taught me that early. But I also would say that my aunt was very instrumental and played a role in helping me to understand the importance of women in leadership. And so back in the 1980s, you know, it was just not popular for women to be in leadership roles. And so especially in her field. And so she became a leader at a very young age. And so she always instilled in me that women can do anything that they want to do. And so she was one of my role models. And I would say that currently, you know, besides Michelle Obama and Kamala Harris and Oprah Winfrey and all of those people, I would have to say that my pastor, his name is Timothy Fountain, he is also a role model because what he does for me is he demonstrates what those Christian values that we learn about, what they look like on the outside. So he's also a phenomenal leader. And so I'm constantly looking up to him as a role model.
Beautiful. You know, they say that your voice is the most powerful instrument. And so you are definitely a musician on many fronts in honor of your parents. And what beautiful souls that you've had in your life surrounding you, both personally and professionally in these spaces and places. You know, and as you think about these folks that have been role models for you, who are also some of your mentors?
Well, I have several mentors, and I believe that mentorship is so important. And so I've been blessed, you all, to just really have a lot of educational leaders to helped guide me along the way in my career. But I would have to say that my number one mentor, and he's probably going to be very surprised to hear this, but it's my husband, Antoine Kilcrease, who's also a phenomenal leader. He works with the Progressive Insurance Company. And he really, he's the reason why I'm in education today. Because after graduating from school and working for a year in a field that I thought that I wanted to do, I really found that I was not satisfied. And so he just coached me and said, well, what is it that you really want to do? You know, what is it that you want to do? Stop living for other people and live for yourself. And after he coached me, I realized I've always wanted to be a teacher. But unfortunately, you all, people discourage people from going into the field of education. I don't know why, but they do. And so he was there to encourage me and to guide me and lead me. And the other thing is throughout my entire educational career, every opportunity that I pursued has been because he has pushed me out there. And so I told him, I said, okay, now I'm going to try for this. If I get it, how are you going to help me? How are you going to support me? And he's been there through the entire 28 years of my career, supporting me every opportunity that he had. And so he's my mentor, and he's the one that knows me inside out. He's the one that gets it all. When I get home, you know, he knows the frustrations. He knows the happy, the highs and the lows. But I would have to say right now, currently, in the workplace, my mentor is my current supervisor, Dr. Curtis Jones, who was the 2019 National Superintendent of the Year. So you can imagine I have been mentored by the best. But what I love about Dr. Jones is the fact that he's what John Maxwell would call a pinnacle leader. We follow him because of who he is and what he represents. And so he models for me every day exactly what true servant leadership is all about. But he's always pouring into me and pushing me out there. I wouldn't be here on this wonderful show with you all today if it were not for him. And so so he guides me and he just continues to encourage me. And so I know that people are probably like, well, you know, what about the women in your life? I've had several phenomenal female mentors, but I wanted to mention those two men because we as women need to realize that we have allies out there and there's some men who get it. They realize that women get the job done every day. And so they understand the importance of gender equity and gender parity and making sure that the woman's voice is at the table. So I had to mention them, but I would be remiss not to mention one more, y'all. Sylvia McGee, she was the deputy superintendent of the Bibb County School District when I became an administrator. And I call her my life coach. And she's been there with me from the beginning, and she's still here with me now. And so mentorship is very important. But what I love about her as a mentor is that she didn't just mentor me while we were working together. She continues to keep in touch with me and stay connected. So several mentors, I can't mention them all, but those are three that come to mind.
Well, I bet your husband is going to be thrilled to hear this podcast.
Well, I hope so.
He gives my husband would be fuzzed at that. And I feel that way. I probably haven't ever articulated it. And I also feel like if my daughter could grow up and be like you, I would be like the happiest, proudest parent in the universe. You are so, you're just so bubbly and so excited and just so focused on doing what's good for others, especially children. So that is no doubt why you were recognized by AASA, one of our favorite organizations, as a phenomenal leader. And when, I'm wondering, did you look in the mirror and see yourself as a leader?
I love that question because it really made me think. You know, my parents told me that I was the little girl outside that was bossing everyone around. And telling everyone what to do, how to line up, what we're going to play, leading and saying, this is what we're going to do for the talent show. So I think, although Maxwell says that you're not born a leader, I may have been born a leader, but never really recognized it. Most of the time, there was others who recognized that leadership quality in me because contrary to what people believe, I really like being behind the scenes. I like being a follower. I like just making things happen behind the scenes. But I will tell you that when it really became obvious to me that I had the ability to lead was when I had an unfortunate incident happen. And as a high school principal, I can recall one morning receiving a call around 4 o'clock in the morning. And you all know that no one wants to receive a phone call at 4 o'clock in the morning because you know nothing's happening good at 4 o'clock in the morning. And unfortunately, it was the coroner. And he told me that I had lost a student to a drive-by shooting. And so and I hope I don't get emotional sharing this, but after really trying to get myself together, and my husband, of course, was there for me, I realized that I had to pull it together because I had to go and face all of the students and the faculty and staff and these thousands of people who were going to be just as touched as I was. And so, you know, that morning I was a mess. I was, but I just had to gather myself together and rush out and go to the school. So I had built myself, my confidence up, and I driving into work, I just kept saying, Tansy, you're going to have to hold it together because leaders hold it together. Leaders don't cry in public. You know, they don't show emotions. They've got to go there and they've got to be the strong ones. Time the kids started coming in because, of course, it happened very early, so they had not had time to know about the incident. All you could hear was just weeping and wailing and kids coming in and you know, teachers coming in, and everyone was upset. And so I was able to manage to keep it together until it was time for the announcements. So I had practiced what I was going to say, and I was adamant, you all, that as a leader, as an effective leader, I'm going to get in front of this faculty and staff and students, and I'm going to be able to do this. I think I may have made it to 5 words. And then I just lost it. I lost it. And you could hear a hush over the building, a hush. And so after I finished just weeping and sobbing, I went into my restroom, the bathroom, and I looked at myself. And that's when I knew, you all, leaders show emotions. Leadership is about caring and loving people, because people are our most valuable asset. And sometimes we forget that as leaders. We think that there's a certain model, that there's a certain demeanor, but really and truly is what people are asking for from leaders is to be your authentic self. And that's when I knew that I was a leader that could lead through any situation.
You know, Tansy, as you talk about leading through any situation, you talked very vividly about two visible situations, you know, the community and how you face them and how you face yourself in the mirror as the leader. And, you know, I don't know where this came from, but I remember writing down that in a superintendent conversation, they said, those who are able to see the invisible and make it visible are the ones who are really changing the world and community. And it's those invisible things that the public doesn't always see, but that you see every single day in your community, and you strive to make a difference and face your learning publicly, put emotion out there publicly, and you dare to lead with love. And I think that's how you make those invisible things that folks don't see around equity and need and the challenges in a way that can be actionable in your community. So I thank you for sharing that incredibly deep and, as you said, emotional story around how we can really embrace leadership as we embrace community. You know, as women, we sometimes don't always show our emotion, but our emotion is there. And so to be able to lead with that is incredibly powerful. And I'm curious, how do you see women changing the world? How are women leading?
Well, you know, one of the things that we're talking about is it deals with the fact that women are paving the way for a new style of leadership. And just like I said, that we think that we can't show emotions. I just think that we can't help it. We're just nurturers by nature. And so there's nothing wrong with that. And so I believe that women are out there and they're just advocating on behalf of children, or they're advocating, they're doing whatever they do in their field. and they're doing it well, and we're paving a new way for leadership. But in addition to that, we're breaking glass ceilings all the time. And, you know, although the glass ceiling hasn't been shattered just yet, there's some cracks in there, and we're making progress every day. And I'm just very excited about where we're going and seeing more women in leadership roles and as CEOs and as superintendents. And I believe that's because we as women are empowering other women. And that's very important that we understand the importance of that interdependence and that connectedness and how we need to assist each other. I heard someone one day say, you know, you may be the first, but don't be the last. And so that kind of ties back to that mentorship that you were talking about earlier and the importance of that. So I see other women changing the world because they're empowering other women to do great things. I also believe that we're overcoming age and gender biases because unconscious bias is insidious. And so it's important that we're intentional around that and making sure that we're recognizing those unconscious biases, especially when it comes to gender equity. And then I also believe that we have so many women that are changing the world by addressing society's unmet needs and also dismantling barriers, as especially when it comes to gender parity.
Girl, preach. I love it. I love it. And I just, you know, there's so many women that we have on our podcast that don't have female role models, that don't, or mentors, because we didn't mentor them, right? We, you know, sometimes that arm doesn't go out with a shake. It goes out with a, not, don't get near me, sister. It's my territory. I'm moving on up. You stay right where you are. And you know the people I'm talking about. And if you're listening, you know who you are too. You need to stop that, because that's not how we need to roll. That's not how it goes at all. So there are a lot of mavericks out there that are disrupting and disturbing the system, and they are pulling other women up behind them. I think of Oprah, you know, when I think of, I mean, she's like been for decades, she's done that. And I know there are others, but I just love her so much. But who might you be watching that others should pay attention to?
Well, I, of course, Melinda Gates, American philanthropist. I really wish I could be one. I mean, just think about the billions of dollars that she's invested in others to improve global poverty and inequity. You know, she was a former educator and just continues to just give and pour out of herself to ensure that others have. I love her. Stacey Abrams, who is here from Georgia, she's done a lot around voter rights and making sure that people understand the importance of voting and that their vote matters and it counts. So I've been very proud of the work that she's done and been watching her very closely. Of course, Kamala Harris, who is our Vice President of the United States of America. And even before she became the Vice President, you know, she's done so much to help others and to combat hunger and to think about women's wellness. And so, but I believe that who I've been watching for a while, and I'm just very intrigued by her, is Malala. And just the fact that courage that that young girl has, and now she's a young lady, but you know, she started as early as 11 and 12 years old, being an activist and understanding the importance of education. I believe that education is the great equalizer, and then understanding the importance of women and girls being educated is just the fact that she would put her life in danger in order for others to have a better life just speaks volumes to me. So she is a maverick. All of them are mavericks. There's several others, but those are the ones that I really think of and that I've been watching for years.
Yeah, you definitely journeyed with us through amazing leaders that are both youthful in age, and then those who are very seasoned with wisdom. And as you think about your own trajectory and your career from that educational celebrity to this award-winning AASA leader right now, and being a mother and a grandmother, how do you manage it all? You know, we're all so challenged when it comes to this place of self-care. How do you make it happen, Dr. Kilcrease?
Well, Dr. Gibson, I have never been able to really master it. balance is, that's a hard one. I'm just being honest, because you know there's times in your life where life is not as balanced. But I have just recently realized the importance of health, and not just physical health, but your emotional health, your spiritual health, and just being balanced all around. And so I have not always been able to or been good with that. And so just recently, I made a pact with myself. I was getting ready to turn 50, and I am over 50. I can't believe I told my age. But anyway, what I had to realize is that, you know, in order for me to be balanced, I've got to be more intentional about my physical health, first and foremost, in order for my mental health to be where it needs to be, and even spiritually. So my advice is, first of all, understand that self-care is not being selfish, but that it is necessary, especially if you are a leader. You can't lead others if you're not taking care of yourself. And we as leaders and female leaders and mothers, we normally put others before self, and at the expense of our health. And I have had times in my life where I've been very unhealthy. But I can say that this is a very balanced time in my life. And so with that being said, I learned from Jamie Cassidy, who's a guy I work with, that your first hour should be yours and your last hour should be yours. So I take time to reflect every day in the morning, and I also reflect in the evening. I also take time during the day to make sure that I'm moving. Because we're sitting here, and especially in during the pandemic, we've been in front of the screen a lot. And so I just make sure that I'm intentional about in certain times for me to get up and move and just relax and to meditate on the day. But I also listen to my body. And that's some advice that I have for everyone else is, if you're tired, rest. If you need to take a day, take a day. It's okay. Because the work is going to be there. What I've learned that the work is never done. So it'll be there waiting on you when you get back. So listen to your body. It's okay to think about self and take care of yourself, because that's the only way you're going to be able to lead others and take care of others.
Well, and welcome to the Fit and Fabulous 50s, my friend.
I love it.
I had a similar goal. I did not make it. I have to tell you, I didn't. Instead, I gained like 80 pounds, but it's because I had a kid when I was 54. So I thought I was going to lose weight and instead put a ton on. So now I want to be svelte at 60. That's good.
Yes. Oh, Dr. Ray, that is a blessing. That is definitely
you have no idea. She's such an incredible blessing. But I did have that same slogan and didn't happen. But now we're going to move to a little game of insights that we play to kind of finish off the podcast. It's a finish the thought game or finish the sentence game. So here is your first one. An event that changed my worldview.
The event that changed my worldview was the pandemic and the closing of schools across the globe. It was March 13th, 2020. When we pulled our administrators together and told them that we would be closing for 2 weeks. And you all at that time, that's what we thought. It was just going to be 2 weeks. And in my little finite mind, that's what I thought. Oh, I'm not going to take this with me because we'll be back in 2 weeks. And so when I started looking at CNN and seeing what was happening across the globe, it really made me understand the importance of being globally aware. We always talk about preparing students for a global 21st century, global society, or things of that nature, because that's part of our mission. But I realized that I never really and truly was aware. I was only concerned with what was happening here. And so it just really changed my perspective on life in general.
Yeah, I think none of us will forget that weekend. Truth be told, the assigned readings for my emerging superintendents that weekend were around learning and then leading in an age of disruption. Who knew, right? How connected we would all see ourselves and how important this work is. So I have another sentence started that might be connected to this or maybe take us down another road. And this one is, I became a stronger person after.
After I had children, I realized these little people are dependent on me and that I had an opportunity to have a positive influence on them and that I didn't need to pass on all of my fears and just the things that weren't great about me to them. And so I really worked hard on trying to mask those fears and say, you know, hey, I can't let my children know that I'm afraid of animals because they might want to be a veterinarian one day, you know? And so, but I just realized with motherhood that we women can do anything. We are so strong and we are just so caring. And it takes a lot to love others more than you do yourself. And so I think I became a stronger individual and just a better person when I became a parent. Just saw things very differently in life.
Yeah, I second that. I'm still learning it. What about this one? My life improved when I...
when I realized that I am okay with who I am. And I'll tell you a little bit about that if we have time. I was the first student to integrate my school in 1976. It was a private school. And 12 years later, I was the first African-American to graduate. And for years, I was there by myself. So you can imagine, especially in the 1970s, what was going on during that time. And so there was a lot of assimilation. So, you know, at school, I was Tansy, the Black girl. When I went to my neighborhood, which was predominantly Black, I was Tansy, the Black girl that goes to the white school. And that's just how they said it. So in both communities, I can't ever say that I was all the way accepted. So you can imagine at a younger age, and especially in the middle ages, Dr. Gibson, you said that that's your favorite group, mine too. But it was never that I was confused with my identity, but I was often questioning just who I was or who did I want to be with? Did I belong? Did I not belong? And it was not until I went off to college that I realized that I am a unique individual and that I am okay just the way I am and that people are just going to have to accept me for who I am. And it was that moment that I was able to do and move forward with my life and really and truly start focusing on who I wanted to be.
You know, you are reminding me of our guest on a previous podcast, Carolyn McCanders, about this both and thinking and the natural tensions of the space that we live in. And I hope that a memoir will be coming out from you because, like you said, you have a story to tell and we can learn a lot from that story. You know, and my hunch is that this next question might also keep continuing this story. And that is our final question, a decision that changed your life. It might be in the earlier chapters of this forthcoming memoir.
Yes. A decision that changed my life forever was when I decided to stop working at the local television station and decided to go into education. And as I told you all before, my husband played an integral role in making me see that I had a purpose-driven life and that working at that television station was not my purpose. And I am just forever grateful to him for coaching me through that and making me realize my real calling, my true calling, which is serving kids and the students of the Bibb County School District or wherever, whatever school district I ever serve in.
Well, we are thrilled that you are standing in your purpose and standing in your light and sharing your story with so many, because we know that our fierce listeners are definitely connecting with your journey and all the different interesting and provocative ways that these spokes on this wheel have come together so that you can roll forward in this honor roll space. You know, Keisha, I know we have all been learning a lot. And as always, I'm curious, what are you learning?
Oh, it's true, Tansy. Every week she puts me on the spot to express my learnings. One week I'm going to flip the script and have her do it. But I am glad it's my turn this time because I have learned a ton from you. Look at all these notes I've taken. Oh, yeah. See, you thought I wasn't paying attention. First of all, I can see why you're an award-winning administrator. You have much, much, much to give. And I think you've just gotten started. Thanks. I love your be authentic to self and lead with love. I think that is probably your core. And I think you probably do that with everything, not just education. I think you do that with your children, with your grandchildren, with your husband, with your family, everything. I also appreciate your transparency about your Christianity, because a lot of us don't do that. And sorry, a lot of us don't do that. And we should. We shouldn't hold back. No. We should, you know, we should get out there. And I see a lot of, especially young people who are embarrassed and they don't talk about their faith. And I mean, as you can see, it just breaks my heart that to just think that. So I'm so proud of you for doing that, for lifting up and being an example to others that are no doubt watching you and seeing how you maneuver through the district and through the system and just through your career, and that you lift that up. So thank you for that. Thank you so much for that. I love that you call out unconscious bias. You know, there's a tool, Harvard University has that unconscious bias tool. Mm-hmm. I fail it every time. I'm like, I don't have a bias here. And they're like, oh my gosh. I mean, you do. And you don't even, you can go 100%. I don't have a bias. And I almost always, you know, have some kind that you just don't, I don't know. It's like in your subconscious, I guess. I love that you focus on emotional, physical, and spiritual health. I think that's super key. I am jealous that you are so balanced, and I aspire to be you in that way. And I think your journey of national influence is just beginning.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And I can't wait to see where it takes you us.
Thank you.
Is there anything that you didn't get to say, Tansy, that you want to share with the audience?
Well, I tell you, you just made me think of something when you were talking about the unconscious bias. If you say that you don't have a bias, then you're unconscious, because everyone has a bias. And I would love the toolkit or whatever assessment that is to kind of help me reveal for me, because that awareness is so important, first of all, for us to be able to change. So you have to be willing to be aware of it. I just want to say that I love the work that you all are doing. Again, you all ought to be commended. Telling the women's story, the woman's story, is so important. I love the name Honor Roll, because it made me really think about what are the different roles that I play. And, you know, the fact that you all are honoring women who are rock stars, it just makes me, I'm just proud of you all. So thank you so much for this opportunity. Again, it's been an humbling experience. I thank you for the platform and the opportunity to just share a little piece of who I am. And I look forward to seeing what you all are going to do in the future.
We're so honored again, playing on that honor roll. And I do know that you also shared something that I want to make sure that we call out as you think about your legacy, that you really wanted to dedicate this to your grandparents and the sacrifice that they have made for you to be in this space of legacy and building this beautiful space in the world for us to live our purpose. And so as we think about dedicating this podcast to your grandparents, we're wondering, you know, what might the world be reflecting on right now with Dr. Kilcrease's wisdom in mind? How are they connecting to their purpose and their faith, whatever their faith might be? And in that spirit, finding their voice. And so while I asked Keisha, I did that checking for understanding. You know, I took a whole bunch of notes too, and I've got proof for our listening audience as well. And I want to ask a coaching question because we want to continue with our thinking and that mediating of this space. So today's coaching question might be, how might you find your space for reflection in front of the camera, in the mirror, and most importantly, in the eyes of children? So again, Keisha, here's that coaching question. I know you love these. How
might
you find your space for reflection in front of the camera, in the mirror, and in the eyes of children?
I especially like in the eyes of children because they are your greatest critics and you are their greatest influencers. So that's, I love that so much, Frances. You're so thoughtful. Hey, Tansy, we can't thank you enough for joining us today, spending a little bit of time with us, sharing your incredible advocacy, also making me tear up. That happens every other podcast. So see, you got it. You're the girl. We can't thank Tansy enough for joining us today and spending a little bit of time with us, sharing her relentless advocacy and commitment to children. Please join us for our next podcast where we're going to highlight another Shero in education and explore their M's. And don't forget to follow our hashtag TL Honor Role, R-O-L-E, and respond to that amazing coaching question that Frances just shared. Until then,
be fierce
and be formidable.
The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is produced by Keisha Ray, Frances Gibson, and Christine Weiser. Audio production by Mitchell Tulin and AV Nation. Tech and Learning's Honor Roll theme music is by Madison Van Gundy. Find more episodes on techlearning.com and follow us at hashtag TL Honor Roll. That's TL Honor, R-O-L-E.